Hello and welcome to the 40th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deej. I also run the website, poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com, where you can find notes to go along with this episode, links, and any other references I make, and the like. I will also hopefully be catching up on my photo diaries, which I seem to have gotten caught up on, and then completely lost track of once again, making it pretty much a pattern for the entire year, which is kind of a bummer, but, you know, life kind of gets in the way of all the projects we have, doesn't it? I hope everybody is prepared for the holiday season, or getting there at least. We are heading to my parents' place in Michigan this upcoming weekend, and we'll be there all week. Don't have a ton of plans, which is kind of nice. We are going to go to this town called Frankenmuth in Michigan, which is a neat little town that's modeled after like a Bavarian village. They've got a lot of little shops, and in a nearby area, they have a big store called Bronner's, which is like the world's largest Christmas store. It's neat. We've been going there since I was a little kid. My dad actually worked at a place that was headquartered near there, and so we started going up when I was probably like 7 or 8, I think, and we pretty much went there once a year after that until I moved out here. And so it'll be nice to get back there, and it'll be Lucy's first time. Em's gone once, maybe twice with me in the past, and it's just really neat to go to Bronner's and then go into town, and it's always really nicely decorated around this time of year, and they have two different places where you can get some awesome chicken and other delightful Bavarian foods, and it's just a really neat place, and I think Lucy will get a kick out of it. Aside from that, we're doing Christmas Eve at my grandparents' house, which is a tradition I think I've talked about here on the podcast that goes back to before I came along. And it has been a long time since I've gone. I think Em's only been once and Lucy's never been again. I guess that's a pattern. So we're all going to go and that'll be really nice. It'll be, you know, my grandma and grandpa have 3 kids, my dad, and then my aunt and my uncle. And then my aunt has 2 kids and my uncle has 4 kids and 2 of them are married, and there's girlfriends, and yeah, no more boyfriends, because they got married. So there's a lot of people that will be there, and it'll be nice. It's going to be the first time we've seen a lot of the family since my cousin Stephanie's wedding, which we went westward for earlier this year. But, you know, with weddings, there's a lot going on, so we got to visit with some people and not others, and this will be a lot more relaxed. And then I think we're going to get together again later on in the week, which is nice. It'll be interesting, because this is going to be the very first time that we've gone to visit my parents where they don't have the house in Toledo that I grew up in. And that is interesting because there's an hour drive there to get back to the cottage from Toledo. So at this point, I haven't really planned anything with my friends. I actually still have to email them. I've been really, my head's been all over the place, and so I haven't gotten that done. But hopefully I'll be able to see some people. And if not, you know, it happens. And I'll actually be going out again later in the year for my buddy Chad's wedding. So I'll get to see my friends then. I'm not sure if Em's going to be able to come, probably not, to the wedding because she's pregnant and it's going to be like a month before the due date. You're not really supposed to fly at that point. So I might be flying solo for that, literally. And then we're going to get together with Em's parents after that. One of the key things that we've come to realize from being, you know, together and being apart for some holidays when we were just dating and then kind of figuring everything out now as a married couple is that it doesn't really matter what day you celebrate Christmas on. It's just, you know, that you celebrate with family or friends or whoever you want to celebrate with. And so that's been kind of something that, you know, we've done on my parents' side and her parents' side. And so we just kind of get together whenever we can and celebrate the holidays then. Lucy seems to be getting pretty excited, although I don't think she really quite gets it yet. When we go out, people are like, oh, are you looking forward to Santa and all this stuff? And she's kind of like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's been watching some Christmas specials on TV with us, but I don't think she understands what, like, Christmas is or, like, the myth of Christmas. She does like our little Christmas tree that we put up. It's about 2 feet tall, and it's just kind of on top of a little thing in the corner of the room. It's actually in a pot so we can plant it later. I think we're going to give it to her. Em's parents, so they can put it in their yard. But it's a nice little tree. We decorated it with a lot of the little ball ornaments that we had, and then like one strand of white lights went around it pretty well, and Lucy kind of got a kick out of it. She was really messing around with it a lot when we first put it up, messing around with all the ornaments, and almost put her thumb right through one of the ornaments, which is a little scary, but luckily she did not hurt herself. We just kind of heard a crack and looked over, and it's kind of concave at one point, and we thought she put her thumb right through it, but luckily that was not the case. So, I mean, we've been doing pretty well. We didn't decorate nearly as much as we usually do. We've got a lot of things still in bins. Obviously, with a smaller tree, we didn't get out our big boxes of ornaments. I have a ton of ornaments from when I was growing up. My grandma, who passed away last year, used to give me one every single year up until she passed away. And then, you know, my parents would give me some. And they, a lot of them are kind of like comic book, cartoon, movie things, which is really cool because I can pretty much decorate an entire tree in like my geeky sensibilities if I like to. But my wife is very particular about how we do trees. So there's a lot more that goes into it. And I just kind of sit back and let her do her thing because I don't really care that much. I like a decorated tree, but I don't necessarily like decorating the tree. But we will be able to do that on a much bigger scale with Lucy when we go to my parents' house because they've got, I think they said, like a 9-foot tree. That'll be fun. She's definitely never seen a tree that big in real life. So that'll be fun. It's gotten me thinking quite a bit, actually, about the whole Santa Claus thing. Now, when I was a kid, you know, I believed in Santa Claus like everybody else. And, you know, when I was 6 or 7 or whatever age it was, my parents sat me down and told me the truth. And I felt betrayed because I thought that, you know, they lied to me and this was crazy. And why would they do that? And I didn't like being lied to. I think I probably thought, at least partially, that, you know, people were like playing me for a fool, which is a strange response for a 6-year-old, I guess, but, you know, I'm kind of like that. And, you know, I talked to my parents about it later, well after the fact, and my mom never really pushed the Santa thing, but it's hard to not be exposed to it, you know, growing up, especially in the 80s when everything was like Santa Claus was in every cartoon and special and, you know, all the old Rankin Bass stuff was replaying, and it's just, it's out there. How can you not kind of absorb it? And I gotta say, I'm really not interested in purveying this myth on my kid. M wants to do it, and I'm kind of just holding back a little bit right now because, like I said, it doesn't matter, and she doesn't understand what's going on. But it just seems so silly to me to, like, lie to children about one fictional character being real when you don't do that about any other characters. It's not like I'm sitting down and telling her that Batman and Spider-Man and Superman are real, or even Mickey Mouse, who she's kind of met in person at Disney World. Like, we don't tell our children that all these other people are real, but we do for this one guy that's supposed to bring you presents but doesn't because he doesn't exist. I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way. And of course, the argument that everybody always makes is, well, if you tell your kid, then they're going to tell other kids, and then it's going to ruin it for everybody. It's like, well, honestly, I don't care. Like, I'm not okay with just lying to everybody about these things. And you know what? Like, not for nothing, I've heard a comedian do this bit or something along those lines, but like, parents deserve the credit, or whoever's buying presents deserves the credit for, you know, working hard and making money and giving their kids or the kids in their lives these things. It doesn't seem to be that big of a deal to me. And it's just shocking to me that we still kind of persist this strange myth of a man sneaking into your house every year and just making this thing happen. I don't know. It, like I said, it kind of gets under my skin, and I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, I have no problem with, like, seeing Santa on TV and just treating it like any other character, of course. I'm not, like, trying to block the character from her life or anything. But it's just, it's a weird thing that, like, you know, we're telling her that Santa's real, but Mickey is not real, even though you're going to see him at Disney World several times. It's, the whole thing's just a little weird to me. I'm not a big fan of it, and I don't see myself actively participating in all this stuff. But I also, you know, kids today have access to information that we never had. I mean, you can Google if Santa's real. Although I guess if you Google if Santa's real, there's probably as many sites that say he is as there are that say he isn't. So who knows, because there's a lot of whack jobs out there. But the thing that actually gets under my skin even more than that is the elf on a shelf. Now, I haven't done too much research. I did a little bit of reading up on this, but I've seen it in a few shows and I've heard people talk about it. And it's basically this stuffed elf you put in your house somewhere that's supposed to be like Santa's agent in your house, watching to make sure your kids are doing the right thing. Now, of course, the Santa myth is partially around because parents want their children to be good under the threat of not getting toys for Christmas, which I think is a terrible way to raise your children, but, you know, whatever. And the idea is that this kind of links into that mythology. It's based on a 2005 book. I looked it up. I'll have some more information on the website, but you put this thing in your house and you tell your kids, you know, be good or else that elf's going to get you. And, oh man, I have a really big, he's not going to get you. Sorry. Be good or this elf is going to tell Santa and you're not going to get any presents. Now, first of all, I think this is a strange continuation of you better watch out, you better not cry. It's, oh man, and I know, like, I get it. Kids can be tiny sociopaths who don't listen to you whatsoever. And sometimes the only way that you can get them to do what you want is by threatening to take away something or punish them in some way. I get it. I understand. Believe me, I understand how crazy a kid can be. But to, like, threaten Christmas and tell them that they're being spied on is a very strange thing. And I also feel like this might be digging in a little deeper here than is necessary. But I also feel like this is really setting up a precedent for the next generation being okay with being, like, spied on, basically. And I know that's not the intent of the people that created this, you know, the book originally and the toys from there. But isn't that a little crazy? Like, here's the idea. And this goes back to Santa, too. Hey, kids, this guy's going to watch you all year long. Pretty much everywhere. If you're good, he'll give you a present. If you're bad, he won't. Of course, if your parents are out of work or you have a bad financial situation or you're in a different country, unless you're all those things, this guy's going to watch you. And if you're good, you get a present. Now, to compound that, here is his spy, his agent, his tattletale in your house watching you. And you're either going to resent this as a kid or be okay with it. I just feel like that's a really weird precedent to set. Like, okay, I'm okay with being watched. So I don't know. I mean, in some cases, I believe in total transparency, government, police work, a lot of things where I think cameras could be in places. So you can look in and see that everything is being done the way it's supposed to be. But in that case, it's people monitoring people to make sure everybody's doing the right thing. It's not some mythical supernatural creature watching you, making sure that you do what you're supposed to in exchange for a present. So, I don't know. Maybe that's a little crazy to think about, but it is a weird thing that we've added to Christmas culture that I'm not a fan of at all. And there will definitely not be an elf on the shelf in here. Now, my wife told me about an alternative idea that I can't remember the name of, but it's supposed to put kind of a positive spin on the whole thing, and I don't know. I mean, teach your kids to be good. They're going to be raving animals for 6-7 years. But hopefully by the end of that, you've built a foundation of morality in them that they know to be good and not just because they're worried about presents. Maybe it's harder than that. I mean, I'm only dealing with a 2.5-year-old at this point. And I get it. Like, I've had hours go by where I'm like, pick up your toys. If you don't pick up your toys, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And then she just doesn't do what I say, or she ignores me or whatever, doesn't do the thing. And then after a little while, she'll do it. So it's like, why did we just go through all of this craziness when you were going to do it anyway? I get it. I understand that kids are crazy, but I don't know. I feel like this needs to be a parent job of actually instilling values and a system of right and wrong in their kids instead of tacking it on to an external source that is actually completely baseless in reality. But again, that's just me. I understand people are into both Santa and the elf on the shelf. I also understand that some kids are just really difficult to deal with, and I hope that mine are not like that. Moving away from holiday specifics, last week's episode was obviously themed and very specific on gender and all that, and if you haven't listened, I hope you will go back and check it out and leave any comments or ideas. But a lot of things have been going on that I do want to talk about. I've been chronicling the epic failure of my car lately, which continues to be awful, but one of the things that I was trying to do was drive around more with Lucy. And of course, it's getting more and more difficult the colder it gets and as more snow comes. But we did actually go on a few trips a couple weeks ago that worked out really well. The town we want to move into is called Cornwall. It's a great coffee shop that I used to work out of before Lucy came along, and I would just go there and do some writing just to get out of the house because I would get a cabin fever for sure. I took Lucy there one day, and she had a bagel, and I had a homemade Pop-Tart. I was shocked that she did not want any of the Pop-Tart. I was like, it's a cookie, it's a cookie. She just wasn't into it. And then I had a drink, and she just had some water. But it was really neat. We were just kind of sitting there, and she was looking around, and just a cool experience. And then after that, we went to the library in Cornwall, and she met a little boy there that she was playing with. And they were kind of running around, and eventually he had to go, and then Lucy and I left. And it was a little difficult getting her out of there, although not as bad as it has been in past times. On one hand, it's good to run my car, and that'll hopefully keep the battery going. On another hand, obviously it's good to get Lucy out amongst people and doing things that are outside of our house. It is getting very cold, though, and my car is getting even more temperamental. We got a bunch of snow on Saturday, pretty much snowed the whole day. And I went to test my car on Sunday, and the battery was dead. I had driven it on Friday, and I figured it would last through, but it did not. So I brought it in, I charged it up, and then I dug out M's car and my car. And this is kind of a different thing, but we live in a condo complex, which is, it's a pretty big area, and there's a contract with this landscaping company to do the snow removal. Now, in years past, we were told to try and have our cars dug out and moved by 10. But the problem is, there's only so much space for you to move a car to. And if they're not actually shoveling and plowing the spots that exist, then there's very few places to put your car. Now, I happened to get out there pretty early, and I moved M's car out of the way, kind of in the loop to leave, and that worked out fine. My car took some more charging, so I waited, and which wound up not even mattering because they didn't plow those spots until today, I think, which was very aggravating. And what they do is they just drive their car into whatever courtyard they're going to do, and they just honk their stupid horns. Now, they're doing this to one that was, like, diagonal to us, and from what I could tell, maybe there was still a quarter of the cars left. Now, meanwhile, right in front of us, there was an entire space open. One whole row except for one car, and then some pretty big spots on the other side, and yet they were not plowing it. It took forever. And the problem with this is that if you have two cars, you're kind of held hostage, because even if you got one out to the side, what are you going to do, leave with the other one? And then you got to worry, is your car going to get hit because it's by the entrance or the exit? All this stuff is very frustrating. I'm very excited about eventually getting into a house and just having to deal with my own stuff. And, you know, my wife was like, well, you know, give it a year, and when you're shoveling your own driveway, you're going to have a different story. But I really don't think so, because unless it's like a gigantic driveway, I can knock out a driveway pretty quickly. It's not that big of a deal. It doesn't take that long, but it takes a long time. I can't shovel out spaces, and I wouldn't want to because there's a plow service supposed to do it. I'm getting worked up, as you can tell. It's very frustrating. I was mad for almost all of Saturday because the battery happened, and then the shoveling stuff went down. After a few hours, I decided to give my car battery another try. I threw it in and it started. So I went over to the Valvoline because I realized that my inspection was late. In New York, you have to get your car inspected for emissions tests every year. And I forget because I'm not from here and I don't really pay attention to the sticker. Plus, I haven't driven that car more than 5 times in the past 2 months, so I didn't notice. Still, my fault. But I was trying to get it taken care of. I went to Valvoline. They're like, it'll be an hour and a half. I said, okay, I got to get it done because it's late. If you get pulled over, that's a ticket, you know? And they do checks sometimes. Well, they just stop everybody on both sides of the street and check their registrations and their test certificate. It's a sticker that goes right on your windshield. So all this is going down. I didn't want to get in trouble. I wanted to get it taken care of. So I went over to Valvoline. They do them there. I think I was the last person. I'm sitting there. A lot of cars go through before mine. And I feel bad because people are coming in and they're asking for inspections. And they're like, no, we're booked up. So I'm pretty sure mine was the last one. And they finally get to my car. I see it come in. Now, of course, I'm worried that it's not going to even start for them. So that's freaking me out a little bit. And then it finally comes in and it, you know, another 20 minutes pass and the guy comes in and he calls me up to the thing and I'm getting ready to pay. And he's like, well, you failed inspection. I'm like, whoa, what was wrong? And then he asked if my battery had been unplugged. And I'm like, yeah, it died, so I had to pull it out and charge it up. He's like, okay, well, the computer needs to store like 60 miles worth of information. And then you can come back. You have a 10-day extension, which, you know, is great. I actually really appreciate that. And I had no idea about all this stuff. But the problem is that we're leaving for Michigan on Saturday, which means I have to drive that amount this week, figure out ways to do it. I was going to go down and take Lucy with me to have lunch with Em, but it's not working out because there's some big crazy stuff going on at her job. They've got Christmas parties and all this stuff going on. And then she's getting out early on Friday so I can hopefully get it over there and get it inspected. But if not, then I'm going to have to, I think, pay for the whole thing over again when I finally get back. And it's just such a pain. I can't tell you how frustrating this car is. I don't think I've ever disliked an object so much as I do this car, because while I cannot rely on it, I have to rely on it, and I'm just kind of stuck with it for now. So I'm thinking about really looking into getting rid of it when we get back, but I don't know if it's even going to be worth it unless it gets fixed. So I don't know. I'm just so sick of it, and with the winter coming up, like, I'm really not going to be wanting to pull out that battery every time that I have to go somewhere. And I just want to be able to rely on something. And they say it takes so much to, like, go into the electrical system and figure out which little thing is setting it off that, you know, I don't even know if it's worth it or even findable in a reasonable cost. Because if you go to a mechanic, obviously you've got to pay the mechanic to look at everything. If it's a several-hour job, then I'm spending all this money to fix a crap car that doesn't even work anymore. So I'm a little frustrated, as you can probably tell. That happened Sunday. On a more positive note, we were able to get Lucy outside and play in the snow, and she loved it. She was, like, running around as best she could. I mean, she's short, and the snow was pretty high at points, so, like, she would get stuck and then kind of fall over, and since it was a little hard on top, she would kind of, like, shimmy like she was, like, a little sniper going by. And we played outside for quite a while, and she seemed to have a really good time. We actually went to the library today on Monday also, and she enjoyed it there. There weren't any kids, but she kind of walked around a little bit, and she was okay when we left, which is a really good thing, because the first time I took her to the library when it was warmer out, like in the summer, I basically had to pick her up screaming to leave. But this time, you know, she was okay with it. I think it helped that there weren't any kids there, and we'd gotten a couple books that she was interested in, so we were able to leave without any problem or screaming or any of that. So that was great. And I'm getting really happy that she is becoming okay with leaving things, with hopefully the knowledge that we will be back later on. So I'm hoping to kind of keep that going. We didn't go to the coffee shop or anything else, but we did go to the post office because I had to mail some stuff out. But, you know, it was a nice day. She was a little ornery when we got back. She gets so tired that she kind of becomes a jerk sometimes. And you just got to kind of wait her out until she falls asleep. But, you know, all in all, I know I just went on a tirade about cars, but all in all, things are going pretty well. You know, obviously we're getting towards the end of the year, and I'm looking back, and I wish I had written more stuff or edited more things. But I think we're doing all right. You know, we got a new kid in the works. The one we've got now is doing pretty well. And I started a podcast that I've done 40 episodes of. I think I've only missed 2 weeks. I'm probably going to miss next week too, because like I said, we're going to Michigan and I don't know if I'm going to take my mic or not, or even just have time to cut the thing together, because I'm not going to want to work. So let's just say that there's not going to be an episode next week, but that I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas if that's your thing. And you know, I mean, like I said, we're doing pretty well overall. Still in the house hunt, still dealing with a bum car, but what are you going to do? Lucy seems to be doing awesome. It's going to be a big year coming up for sure. Hopefully we'll be getting in a house. Obviously new baby, which is going to bring a whole new group of challenges. More Lucy developments. I mean, potty training is hopefully in our future next year. Oh, fingers crossed, because I really don't want to have to change 2 diapers all the time, man. Whew. That's getting pretty rough, I got to say. I'm really not excited about cloth diapers right now anymore, because that is a lot to deal with from a 2.5-year-old. I'm kind of liking the idea of disposables, but we're sticking to what we got and making that work for us and trying a couple new things. My wife's got some new inserts that she found that are actually pretty cheap. You know, they're just like towels or whatever, and we're giving that a shot. They seem to be working well, but I gotta say, I'm way too familiar with my child's bodily functions. But, you know, we're doing all right. My job's going all right. But, of course, I'm always kind of looking to see what else I'm going to do. Maybe 2014 will be the year that I finally get something published, or just let's even shoot lower. Let's just say edited to the point where I could give it to somebody to read. That's kind of what I'm going for, and I'm hoping to be a little bit more productive. As the holidays roll in, my job gets a little slower, which is fine, and maybe I can sneak some time while we're in Michigan to do some writing or editing and just kind of keep working with some things. And, you know, the best way I can do anything is to keep writing and then keep polishing the stories and then give them to people to read and get notes on and kind of move on from there. I mean, I don't know how long I can be a wannabe writer without really pushing for it. So I'm hoping 2014 will be that year where I really kind of nail something down and see what I got, if I've got anything. So, you know, I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I am TJ Deitch. You can check me out on poppapa.com. There's a few notes there for this episode. I also do unitedmonkey.com. That's M-O-N-K-E-E, where I do movie and TV reviews. And I have monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com, which I am updating slowly but surely. And of course, I am on Twitter at Papa Deitch. That's P-O-P-P-A-D-I-E-T-S-C-H. All right, gang. Have a happy holidays.